On I-95 North at the San Marco exit, we have a little report of a crash there, and traffic is starting to build. 10 going toward downtown, beginning at Lane Avenue, it gets busy to US 17. And at 295 North from State Road 9B to Bay Meadows, we see heavy traffic on the highway there. Sunny today, our high will be about 68. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 45. Right now, it's 37 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed. The Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. And the Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
7:03, good morning. We got a lot going on this morning, a lot of guests lined up for you, so sit back. I always sit, every time I sit in this chair, I'm always looking for the seatbelt. I'm serious, it's just a habit.
That's true. You lean me out. You should see,
like,
Ed.
What's going on?
We need cameras in here so people can see your position right now.
You know what? I keep asking.
You got your headphones swinging to the back like there's wind blowing them off almost.
Yeah, well, you know, when I got robbed, my computer and all my radio equipment got stolen. They broke into, and so I had to use the, I get the ones that don't mess up my hair.
Exactly.
Now these kind of do it, so I'm like, always
that's
looking
important
in the mirror.
To have your hair looking fierce, right?
Yeah, especially on radio. Where's those cameras? 3 minutes after the hour. Good morning. Let's get to it. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, as the debate about whether or not the government shutdown, who's going to blink? Nancy Pelosi, of course, urged earlier, we should say, that, hey, let's, maybe President Trump could, he should delay the State of the Union out there. But then again, Democrats are always trying to use an excuse why that we do not need to employ having a government shutdown. And on top of that, Roger, we can reopen the government. We don't need a border wall whatsoever. So this week, it's now still based on racism. It's based on abolishing ICE. Let's get to, this one is with Brett Baer, clip number 9. Was asking Steny Hoyer, he says, you know, those that are campaigning for your party, the reason why that you do not support a border wall is all based on this myth of racism, is the reason why that Trump's supporting a border wall. Clip number 9.
That protects people is not immoral. I think the issue is whether it works.
You have all kinds of Democrats speaking out about the wall.
Yes.
Beto O'Rourke, congressman who may be running for president, who knows, said that wall in itself is a racist reaction to a racist myth that does not reflect the reality of this country at all. Do you think a wall or barrier is racist?
Look, Brett.
Mr. Leader, here's the bottom line.
I don't talk in those terms.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the way we ought to look at it.
Okay, so there's a Democrat says, I don't think that's the way we ought to look at it. Well, evidently, if Trump gets accused, and you would say when you listen to some of his advisors and what he says, they're not on the same page sometimes. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe not in some days. Neither the Democrats and some of the other ones are their talking heads.
Yeah, exactly. You know, no one's in exact 100% agreement on everything. Sometimes they do get together and they say, okay, let's all agree on this, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Clip number 6, Christian Gillibrand, who is running for president, who's now out there saying that illegal aliens need to be able to obtain driver's licenses. She says, it's time to abolish ICE. We have to rethink the whole premise of what they have. Clip number 6.
I don't think ICE today is working as intended.
Well, you think you should get rid of the agency?
I believe that it has become a deportation force. And I think you should separate the criminal justice from the immigration issues. And I think you should reimagine ICE under a new agency with a very different mission and take those two missions out. And that's why I believe you should get rid of it, start over, reimagine it, and build something that actually works.
Okay, a deportation force.
Okay.
You're going to hear more clips that it's
what's wrong with the deportation force? I'm curious.
Good question. It's what does they also say? It's a rogue agency. Again, I would like if they would just try to take out. I understand that's impossible to take out all the hype. Just specifically, or give me somewhere. Forget the president for a second. If you have evidence that ICE is going outside of its guidelines to enforce measures that are, again, not in their guidelines, then you should display that. You would get that to the media to embarrass the president. Again, the same rules that are used under President Trump were also used under President Obama. I'm just asking, what is it that they truly dislike about ICE?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, when you talk about rogue police, you know, I'm thinking of things like police brutality,
right?
Doing things that they have to call in internal affairs to investigate. There's no indication that ICE is doing that, any of that. All they're doing is enforcing the laws that Congress gave them to enforce.
See if these talking points all sound the same. Clip number five, former DNC press secretary Jose Aristimona says, you know, maybe we shouldn't abolish ICE, but it has become Trump's deportation force.
Forth, and I can, as a Democrat, I can tell you this. I don't necessarily think that we need to abolish ICE once and for all, but I do think in the last couple of years, especially under a Trump administration, and I agree with the senator, it has become a deportation force. So we need...
I think the very recent images we saw on TV toward the end of last year with kids in these fenced in areas, I think that probably did a lot of damage to the impression that ICE had. But think about it, that was being done already. The media wasn't covering.
Right.
That's
but,
the only
but
thing.
Why? I mean, is like the Space Force, Life Force, Force at all? I mean, a military is a sometimes it's a killing force. I mean, is this a word we have to abolish now, the word force, a deportation force out there? It even goes a little bit further. Washington State Democrat Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal says that ICE, clip number four, ICE has no government accountability, Roger.
I've been working on immigration issues for 20 years, and the enforcement functions which need to be here in a country as ours, we do have immigration laws, they do need to be enforced, but those functions don't need to be in an agency that has become a rogue agency that literally has no accountability to Congress around the hundreds of millions of dollars that we spend.
Really? No government. No.
They do have accountability to Congress.
Again, nobody from the media calls them out. This area was brought up on the Ingram angle, clip number three. Laura Ingram was asking Matt Schlapp from the ACU, the American Conservative Union. She says, wait a second, it's a rogue country. It's a deportation force.
So that's the new thing. They're rogue. They've gone rogue. Deportation force, kids in cages, etc.
Yeah, you know, ICE did all the same things under President Obama, Laura, but you never read any of these stories. You never read about this rogue agency that was somehow out of bounds. And by the
way, this rogue agency that somehow was out of bounds. Oh, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. So it just gets better and better. And whether you agree with Nancy Pelosi or not, you got to admit, and I think even those on the Republican side will admit, that the Democrats are a little bit more gutsy. I mean, use that word. A lot more gutsy than the Republicans when it comes to standing your ground. It's immoral. We're not going to fund the border wall. The president doesn't like brown people. That's what we hear from the left. Now it gets even better. Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, believes that the State of the Union should be postponed until the president can get his act together, she says, when it comes to reopening the government. Clip number 13.
No response yet from the White House to that suggestion from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that President Trump postpone his State of the Union address. But this question tonight, does she have the power to make that happen?
In a bold power play, the Speaker of the House tonight is sending a pointed message to President Trump, suggesting no deal to reopen the government, no State of the Union.
Okay, that was ABC News. Can she stop? Here's a question for you folks. Can she stop the State of the Union address? Yes or no?
I don't believe she can.
Yes and no.
Because the U.S. Constitution requires the president to give a State of the Union address to Congress once per year in January. It doesn't say where.
That's exactly that. Great point, Roger.
He could have the State of the Union address at the Florida legislature. He literally could.
That's right. Maybe he should. You know what? Maybe he should do one of the swing states.
Yeah.
How about that? Why not do it from Trump Tower?
Yeah. He could start a new tradition. Maybe presidents around the country, in the future, will start, instead of doing it in Congress, do it around the country.
Can you imagine the states and the cities that would vie for that?
Oh,
That would bid on that? We could use the money to drop sales tax for your local community.
Exactly.
I'm always looking for ways of besides
Give
raising taxes.
Give tickets to the public.
What a great idea, Roger.
Make America Great Again rally at the arena. He literally could do it. It's legal.
That's right. And by the way, we always know there's more viewers that are watching the State of the Union address.
He literally is required to do it. It doesn't say where.
Now, that's why I asked the question. You're exactly right. Yes and no. Can she stop it? Yes. But the question is where? Clip number 12, where Pelosi says she can stop it at, Roger.
In her surprise letter, the speaker writing, "Dear Mr. President, sadly, given the security concerns and unless government reopens this week, I suggest that we work together to determine another suitable date." Pelosi's other suggestion, consider delivering your State of the Union address in writing.
She's live up at the Hill again tonight for us. Mary, bottom line, does Speaker Pelosi really have the power to disinvite the president from the State of the Union?
Yes, David, the Speaker of the House does have the power to block the president from delivering the State of the Union address from the House chamber, but he could deliver it elsewhere, possibly even from the Republican-controlled Senate.
So, yes, she can stop it from from the House. I'm just being technical, but not anywhere else. Here's the funny part. The president should delay it. Well, delay it till when?
Yeah.
2020?
Well, he's required, if I'm not mistaken, to do it in January, so it's got to be sometime this month.
Yeah, so I mean, then again, if he doesn't do it in January, does it in February? Is that going to be a constitutional crisis out there?
Probably a violation of his oath, to be frank with you. He's got to do it.
So the State of the Union, in just a few moments, are you guys ready for this? Wait till you hear these clips. Vice President, Vice President's wife, Mike Pence, Karen Pence, is harmless lady. And listen, Michelle Obama never threatened me. Okay. But some reason why the left finds, because folks, wait to hear this story. Karen Pence, a very just quiet lady, goes back to teach part-time art. Not elective. What is elective? But not a position as far as, hey, kids, you need to learn this about scripture, about, political activities. No. She's teaching art at a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
And wait till you hear why the left is so outraged. And folks, you talk about reaching, Roger. We played this earlier. For those of you just tuning in, wait till you hear this, where the left is up in arms, not real arms, but up, ticked off about this whole thing. And we'll continue to cover this. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 222-TALK, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
If you're at 95 South at the Trout River, there's a broken down car. You'll see it on the right side of the highway, 295 North on the ramp from State Road 9B to Bay Meadows. Traffic is building. And if you're on I-10, you'll begin to hit the brakes around Lane Avenue all the way down to Stockton this morning.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Since the decline of pensions and the rise in 401k plans, saving for retirement has fallen firmly on the shoulders of the average American worker. We continue to sock away money from every paycheck, but what happens as we get closer to retirement or even retire? Another question is, how do you protect your nest egg during a bear market that will inevitably come roaring back? Now, to help answer those questions, we call on XP Award-winning retirement specialist Peter LaLiberty from Liberty Advisory Group. Now, Peter, how can we protect our nest egg from a bear market?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. The simple answer is, don't be in the market with some of your portfolio. That's the only way to protect against market losses. Either you're in or you're not. So we always say a portion, certainly, of your portfolio should be designed to not have any market risk, to produce as much income as you possibly can in retirement, and to have at least 5 years of planned income with part of your portfolio not in the market. So how do we do that? And the answer is to have a plan, a written plan that you understand, that we have immediate, short-term, and long-term funds. So what we're offering today to the first 20 people who call in is a couple things. One is a complimentary meeting with us to try and build a plan for you. We'll also offer a retirement plan MRI. Now let's figure out what you have. The market has corrected. We don't know which way it's going to go, but we need to have a plan for that. And the last thing is, we'll talk about Social Security, and I'll provide you with the 2019 Social Security cheat sheet just for coming in to see us.
What a great opportunity, Peter. Give us a call right now, 888-508-2119. You heard Peter, the next 20 calls, 888-508-2119. Or you can simply text the word LIBERTY to 21000. That's LIBERTY to 21000.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4, And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll have a high of 68 degrees. This evening, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 45. Right now, it's chilly. 37 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. And Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
Reporters blister the vice president's wife, Karen Pence. Folks, wait till you hear this story. She is just, she's going back to teach at a Christian school.
It's her passion.
It's part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's teaching art. Come on. I mean, how threatening is that? Unless you have a political discussion by saying, by the way, I don't think we need to be funding the National Endowment of the Arts. But anyway, she's teaching art there. And the media will wait till you hear this. Why are they focusing on this about, here it is, clip number 11.
Vice President Mike Pence's wife, Karen, has returned to teaching at a Christian school in Virginia where gay students and teachers are not welcomed.
Second Lady Karen Pence's decision to teach art part-time at Emmanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia has generated controversy. That's because the private elementary school's website says it may refuse admission or discontinue enrollment of a student if a parent or guardian violates a biblical lifestyle. Prohibited behavior includes participating in, supporting, or condoning homosexual activity.
Now, folks, seriously. This is reaching here. I want to play one of the other clips in a moment. She goes back to teach part-time at a Christian school. It's not like it's the only Christian school in the country.
Yeah.
Do you have any hundreds of Christian schools? Catholic, Baptist, mm-hmm. Church of God? I mean, how many of those that are out there? Private schools. It's not like they go out of the way. They flaunt it. They put it on their key out there, and they put the marquee, hey, if you don't like gays or whatever, come to our school. It's nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to teach part-time, isn't there to make a political statement whatsoever, and yet this is the best that they can make on the top of the news on ABC News that, well, according to the Christian school, it forbids teachers and those to accept the lifestyle that they deem to be immoral or unbiblical. It even gets better. Listen to them continue to throw Karen Pence under the bus. ABC News reporting Chip Reed, clip number 10.
Rules banning homosexuality are not uncommon at private Christian schools, and
right. Generally
they do not violate the law.
Karen Pence is sending a message.
But law professor Evan Wolfson says the question is not what's legal, it's what's right for victims of discrimination.
This is the Second Lady of the United States cheering that discrimination and exclusion on.
A spokesperson for Karen Pence said in a statement, it's absurd that her decision to teach art to children at a Christian school and the school's religious beliefs are under attack.
Now, there's so many areas where I could ask the question. At 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is a reach here. Now, Chip Reed goes, it's not uncommon. Christian schools have this type of a platform. But yet they're really reaching out to throw him out of the bus. Number two, well, it's not what's legal, what is right. Well, a lot of conservatives say that, but I have to, whether you think it's fortunate, unfortunate about mm-hmm. some laws, you have to go, which is, again, you don't have to agree with them, but what is legal. And then now they're acting by saying by teaching at this school, she actually condones that. You know, then I guess the same thing would apply to those at the Louis Farrakhan rallies.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. You know, the Constitution gives us the right to have a faith of our own choosing. If the Bible teaches that homosexuality is a sin, why is the First Lady wrong in teaching at a school that supports that biblical principle? Secondly, the Constitution gives us freedom of association. A lot of times parents pay the extra money, the tuition, to send their child right. to a Christian school because they want their values reinforced.
The Obama sent their kids to a private school. What if the teacher went to a church that the church and the preacher did mm-hmm. not profess a faith in Unitarianism or mm-hmm. something that the left wing would advocate? If this, no message, but if this had been Trump's kids, oh my word, they would have tried to connect all mm-hmm. of this. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It almost
here.
Seems like they're trying to make believing the Bible a crime, and it's scary that we're coming into those times today, but I think it's reality.
You know, and this is what the left would do. They'd love to go after these churches and schools. Here's a question I'd like to ask you. When it comes to this, it's almost like the guilt by association. They say it's based on, quote, my religious beliefs. I know atheists don't believe in God, but they're very conservative individuals. Mm-hmm. Is it, what if she didn't have a religious belief? Let me just play devil's advocate here. What if you didn't have a religious belief on your philosophy of why, and let me just throw out one, abortion. Do you really need the Bible, or do you have to use the Bible to tell you to extract or defend your view of why you believe abortion is wrong? Do you need the Bible? Yes or no?
I would think we do need the Bible, you know.
I would disagree.
In a very general sense.
Well, you know? But I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, if it's based on my religious liberty, mm-hmm. you get what I'm saying? Why not have a personal view? But in order for it to be constitutional mm-hmm. or right, we're told, it must be based on something.
Are you asking, can you have a conviction about something on a moral issue aside
without,
from the Bible?
Without the Bible.
You can have one, but, you know, I like the Bible.
Okay, well, is murder wrong?
Murder is wrong,
do you need
yes.
the Bible to tell you that?
No.
Okay, stealing is wrong?
Yes.
Do you need the Bible to tell you that?
No, you don't.
No. Why, let me ask you a question. For some of my friends, like I do and Roger, go to church. There's another way of defending for the life of the unborn without using the Bible. What is it? 222 Talk, very easy answer. 222 Talk has to do with Thomas Dolby, by the way. 222 Talk, 222, very popular early 80s song. 222 Talk, 222-8255. Or, and I'm not throwing it under the bus. So what I'm getting at is, Roger, you have a personal view that says, hey, listen, maybe the issue I was raised or whatever, mm-hmm. I think that this is wrong, but underneath your civil rights or the constitutional views, mm-hmm. you probably would be able to have those, but unless it's based on a religious belief, why can't I have views if they're not based on religious belief?
Yeah, you can have a moral position about something without scripture to back it up, but you know, it's not to take away from the value of the Bible.
Nope, I'm not taking away the value of the Bible.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, there's an area that you, again, I'm using an example of abortion. There's an area that you can use where you don't need the Bible to defend the right of not the pro-choice crowd, but to defend those in the pro-life community. What issue is that based on? 222 Talk, 222-8255, Talk Radio, WBOB.
If you're at I-95 North at University Boulevard, we're looking at a broken down car this morning. 295 North at Wilson Boulevard, another car there is conked out, and 10 headed toward downtown beginning at Cassett Avenue down to 95. Traffic is busy.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
During the Spanish-American War, Colonel Theodore Roosevelt approached Clara Barton, head of the Red Cross in Cuba, to buy food for his soldiers. But she would not sell him any. Perplexed, he later discovered all he needed to do was ask for the supplies he needed. He couldn't pay for them. He could only receive them freely. And that's exactly how salvation is. We cannot purchase it with money, with power, or even by our good works. We can only receive what God provides freely to those who will simply ask in faith and receive. We cannot offer God anything. We can only receive what He offers us. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's salvation by grace on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The following is made possible by Dad.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling all over it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
Why do you have to be careful when it's raining cats and dogs? Because you might step in a poodle.
And kids that spend more time with their dads grow up to be smarter, more successful.
Can I tell you a cat joke? Just kidding.
And with any luck, funnier adults.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance? Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
Dad jokes rule. So take a moment to make a moment and give your kid a laugh. It's as easy as going to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's really funny.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Sunny conditions today. We'll have a high of 68. This evening, partly cloudy, and overnight, the low of 45. Right now, 37 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Here's an interesting question. Do you believe Hillary Clinton lost? One of the many reasons why that she has admitted she lost in 2016. But this one is a brand new one, Roger. Those of like New York Mayor Bill de Blasio and others are saying that, and you know, he's a far leftist, progressive socialist, whatever terminology you want to give him. He says that the reason why that she lost and others was because they were too moderate. And Roger, there's plenty of room for them to move further to the left.
It's on my job. But listen, right now, our party is going through a serious debate. And there's still a lot of moderate voices in the party that did not learn the lessons of 2016 and are not listening to what people need in this country. So I want to push this whole party. We could go a lot farther. We could be a lot bolder than what we're doing now.
You know, at least he's honest out there.
Yeah.
I mean, do you really believe that Democrats who should have won Florida, who should have won some of these other states, that they didn't win because they were too moderate? Do you buy into that?
Absolutely not. He's got a moderate, you know, a more liberal agenda. He wants to push that. People like Alexandria Cortez here in Congress right now, not because people liked her far left policies, but they actually saw her as a popularity winner.
Yeah, but you said earlier, and you may, some people may or may disagree with you, but you don't think that represents the whole Democratic Party?
Absolutely not. In spots of the country, yes. San Francisco, Bay Area, New York, Boston, Chicago, maybe. The rest of the country, the Democrats aren't even that liberal, no.
Yeah. Do you think the Republicans are that conservative?
Certain pockets, probably more conservative on the right than the Democrats are on the left.
222-TALK-904-222-8255. What is a gun show loophole, folks? And some to identify that. Also, what is the area that truly, if you wanted to look at a rogue agency that was really out of control under the Obama administration, maybe you can guess that one as well. More coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. But no response yet from the White House to Nancy Pelosi's suggestion that President Trump postpone his State of the Union speech till after the government shutdown is over. Pelosi cites security concerns, but the Homeland Security Secretary says DHS fully prepared to secure the speech. 21-year-old Georgia man facing federal charges for allegedly plotting to attack the White House and other government targets in D.C., Hashir Tlaib, arrested in a sting operation this week. President Trump to unveil a new missile defense strategy later today when he pays a visit to the Pentagon. Negotiations slated to resume later today in a bid to end the L.A. teacher strike, now in its fourth day. On Wall Street, Dow futures are down 102 points, S&P futures off 12, NASDAQ futures 30 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning, I-95 South at Edgewood. We have a report of a broken down car. You'll see it on the right if you're going that way. 95 North on the ramp to University Boulevard. There's another car that's having some engine trouble, and we are looking at backup there on the traffic cams now. 10 East beginning at Cassett Avenue down to 95. Traffic's building. Sunny today with a high of 68. Partly cloudy this evening with a low of 45. Right now, 37 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed. And the Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Here on our newsmaker line, Joe Gruters. I've known Joe for a long time. He's an old friend. He's a very well-known state senator out of the 23rd District. That's Charlotte and Sarasota. For some of you that may be geographically challenged like me sometimes, even though I'm born and raised in this state, that's on the West Coast. He's also the new Republican Party of Florida chairman. We're talking with him right now. Hey, number one, congratulations. It's always good to talk to you. Roger and I were talking about this just recently. The New York Times came out with an article, and it was almost like they were trying to save face for Florida Democrats. You saw the article. Florida Democrats, no longer is it a blue or purple. It's leaning or it's sliding away from them, becoming more of a red state. And yet the article was still trying to pump up, like, you know, Andrew Gillum, who actually fared much better when it came to less losing. You know, when it's amazing, Democrats is the only party I know that can find winning and losing. He did much better of Chris and Alex Sink out there. You saw that article. Some of it could have a little bit of truth, but is it currently a red state or could the pendulum change? What do you see?
No, it's still a purple state that's trending red. You know, what we have in our going in our favor is we have 1,000 people a day fleeing some of these high-tax states. And most of them realize that they're fleeing these high-tax states because of the policies of the liberal elected officials. And what we've done here in Florida is we, over the last two decades, is having a track record of fiscal discipline, fiscal responsibility, and as a result, low taxes, great place to live. And as a result, the voters are rewarding the Republicans election after election at the local and state and federal level. And so I hope that trend continues. But listen, it's they know that if they win Florida, Donald Trump will not be the president of the United States in 2021. So we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure Florida stays red. We have a singular focus at the party, and that's to get Donald Trump elected.
Hey, by the way, for the audience, please let them know and educate us that may not, especially the media that listen to the show. You, in the when Trump ran, you were one of his early supporters, were you not?
Yeah, and I was one of his co-chairmen for the entire state for
right.
the 2016 campaign with Susie Wiles, who's an absolute superstar
right.
in Florida politics. And basically what happened was is, you know, early on in politics, I had a donor once tell me, he said, Joe, I was asking for money for another candidate. He said, sometimes relationships are a double-edged sword. And this time, for me, it helped me because what happened was is I first got to know President Trump back in early 2012, and then he came and did a fundraising event for me where we honored him as our Statesman of the Year, and then right before the convention that was held in Tampa, and then he came and received that award. He was only the only two-time winner of the Statesman of the Year award in Sarasota. He took it again in 2015, and then so naturally when his sights were on the presidency, I got a call and was asked to co-chair his Florida campaign, and from there it took off. I was the MC at most of the rallies in Florida.
Right.
I picked all the local county chairs originally. I helped place some people, but it's a but make no mistake, there was a lot of great people, Susie Wiles in particular, Kieran Giorno, some others that all deserve credit, but Donald Trump won because of the man he is. I mean, he is an exceptional, he was an exceptional candidate. He has the uncanny ability to attract people, and I think the American people were ready for a change, and they were ready for somebody that was not from the political mold
yeah.
that could break out and actually try to do something. And over the last 2 years, that's what we've seen. We've seen we've seen this individual absolutely break every single mold up in D.C. and punch through it and try to really have a maximum impact for the American worker.
Think about this for a second. By the way, we're on here on our newsmaker line. He's a state senator, very well known. Joe Gruder's at the 23rd District, which is in Charlotte and Sarasota. He's the new Republican Party of Florida chair. You know, it's interesting when you look at this, is, and this is not a put down against Susie or Karen, and not at all, because they did what they could do, because you still had a lot of these never Trumpers. They didn't think Trump was going to win. And listen, I was as a journalist, I was like, man, well, if you buy the polls weren't there. But Trump won, but by being outspent, and even when you look at, let's say there was 100 people inside Florida, Joe, you cover this, that maybe 80% of those were Hillary. Maybe if you had campaign workers, 20% had Trump. Trump had less people on the ground as far as when you would look at conventional wisdom. Hillary still lost. Now the state of Florida is in a much better position. Does this worry that you see some Democrats, because now this is almost like something that they've got to start ground one, because you got 40 people that are going to try to be announcing within the next several months. How shore up is the state, at least as far as the grassroots, for a re-election bid for 2020?
Well, I'm very happy with where we're at in terms of positioning for 2020. We have a incredible grassroots team. The party's in good shape, and we're going to rebuild it. You know, this is the race starts now. We're not waiting till next year. We're going to build up, and we're going to do everything we can. And what like I said earlier, 1,000 people a day move to Florida. That's almost the equivalency of the city of Orlando coming into Florida every year. So we have a lot more new voters, and those are all trending to skew our way. So that's it's a huge plus for us. We just have to do a good job of educating them, switching them over to Republican voters in Florida, and making sure we turn them out. But what we've done really successfully over the last couple of cycles is turn our voters out. I mean, we've had massive turnout numbers, and where we've really done well, school choice mothers in particular, we're starting to turn more Jewish voters due to some of the anti-Israel positions that the Democrat leaders have taken. So I expect both of those segments of the population to continue to move towards us, friendly territory for them. And it's a lot of it's just education and persuasion.
So. Where do you go? This is something that we cover a lot. You know, there's a movement by the League of Women Voters. We usually call them the League of Liberal Women Voters, and other groups out there. They really want these nonpartisan elections. You've seen this. They want to be able to get them on the 2020 ballot where Dems can vote for reps in a primary and the vice versa and everything else out there. There is a major movement, as you know, not a movement, but more people are registering independent, non-party affiliation. How do you reach out to those people and say, hey, we may not agree on everything, but we agree on your back pocket? How is the success doing with those independents?
Well, they've done well. And I think that's why we've had so much success in Florida, because we could show them, listen, after two decades of Florida, the Republican conservative leadership in Florida, you know, we've cut taxes 80 times. We've cut the deficit, or we've cut the debt in Florida by $10 billion. We've have the highest credit rating, AAA credit rating across all rating bureaus. The only state to do it. We're the number one place to do business or to grow a business in the United States, on and on and on. That doesn't happen by chance. It happens by having responsible elected officials who understand we live in a constraint-filled world, and that they don't try to go and buy everybody off like these other states. We've had very good fortune here to live in Florida with this incredible, you know, Rick Scott, the legislative leaders, and we just have to continue to educate people that we are going to continue down that path. We have a great state, and we don't want to break it.
All right. Joe Gruders is a state senator, Florida 23rd District, Charlotte and Sarasota, and he's also the new Republican Party of Florida chairman. Joe, listen, have a good one. It's always good to talk to you. Always
Thanks,
enjoy
Dad.
Seeing you, man.
Love talking to you, buddy. Have a great one.
You got it, man. Joe Gruders here on the radio show. I've known Joe a long time.
Yeah. Go back, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably his working with the Trump campaign back in 2016 had a real big reason as to why he's now the chairman.
Just for the audience, because we have a lot of liberals that listen to this show, but let me trust my conservative listeners, because I hear from them that, well, some of these Republican Party chairs, were they really with Trump? He was one of the original ones with Trump. And let me tell you something, folks. There are a lot of those in... I know that you may not agree with Trump's past, some of the comments he's talking about grabbing women in certain areas and the Access Hollywood and things that, yes, happened 12 years ago. Some of you may not agree with his language, but listen, I know some of the individuals that have carried this show that I know in the religious community, Christian-oriented, they said, you know what? I totally understand some people's, you know, in that context. But they said, we liked the guy. When he came down the escalator, we were on board with him because mm-hmm. they said, you know what? We agree that he may not have had a personal life. But remember, they didn't care about that with Clinton. But some of the guys that I talk with say, we needed a businessman for this country.
Yeah. And even if people didn't support Trump in the primaries, you know, here in Florida, Rubio ran representing our state. A lot of people in Florida voted for Rubio. However, you know, you can't deny the fact that the economy is doing really good.
It is. And by the way, I asked him the question, which you always bring up, how do you get those NPAs?
Yeah.
And the Republicans have done not the greatest job, but they're doing better. Mm-hmm. The Democrats. But again, those NPAs, Roger, which, you know, make up a lot in the local communities and mm-hmm. throughout the state. And even though sometimes they do and they don't come out and vote, mm-hmm. and that's what both parties are really relying on. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 42 minutes after the hour. Guess who's coming up next? He's back with us. It's always good. He was out for the vacation. Adam Andrzejewski, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers. Three locations at San Marco, Ponte Vedra, and the Avondales, underwoodjewelers.com. Folks, the ripoff of the week, all this next. On Talk Radio WBOB.
Good morning. If you're at 295 South at Bay Meadows, there's a wreck there and causing some backup. If you're on I-10 going toward downtown, you'll hit the brakes beginning at Cassett. It stays busy to I-95.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2019 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance to help. Here on Florida's First Coast, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we have a different view because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help, because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods. Their trust, and it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores, and we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, Double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Meet Del's team live in Jacksonville, one day only, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Lots of sunshine today. We should have a high of around 68 degrees. This evening will be partly cloudy with an overnight low of 45. Right now, 37 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. And Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end the congressional pay for members of Congress if a budget is not passed.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Brought to you by UnderwoodJewelers.com. Three locations, San Marco, Ponte Vedra, and the Avondales. Yes, I'm a client of Underwood Jewelers. Go to UnderwoodJewelers.com. It is the ripoff of the week. Not where government takes advantage of you. No, folks, they're literally ripping you off back from the holidays, our good friend Adam Andrzejewski from the group OpenTheBooks.com, also big-time columnist at Forbes.com. Adam, your article that you've sent us and some of the talking points that you've been sharing on other radio stations in your columns, of course, is about going on with the government shutdown, where you show on OpenTheBooks.com as of coming up, new federal payroll data shows that 95,000 feds. Now, you have to break down what area the feds, government workers, out-earn their state governors during the government shutdown. What's this all about?
So, Ed, great to be back on the program.
Yeah.
Great to kick off the year with this breaking news. So the Congressional Research Service, back in 2011, when former U.S. Senator Dr. Tom Coburn was in the Senate, he asked them to study federal employees where they're based and if they out-earn their state governor. So back in 2011, on the Coburn Commission study, the Congressional Research Service found that there were 77,000 federal bureaucrats out-earning their local state governor in the state they worked. This report has now been updated, and we just got the breaking news yesterday. No one's covered this yet. That number of federal bureaucrats out-earning their own state governor is now 95,000. So the situation is getting a lot worse.
Now, Adam, I don't want to, denigrate somebody's position in the federal government. I know some people may be, depending on who you cover, but I mean, okay, the chair, the assistant vice chair, the Department of Energy or something like that. Are we talking, but this is where I'm saying I don't want to, be rude to lower level government employees, but give me some that you would sit back and go, why is this title or this position, give us a couple of them, the titles that are making more than that of their state governors.
Well, on your program in the past, we've highlighted the huge number of lawyers that work for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam loves lawyers. There's over 35,000 lawyers employed in the federal agencies, and 7,200 of those lawyers make more money than their state governor makes working for Uncle Sam. Here's one that just drives me absolutely crazy, always has, broken a lot of this on your show, the PR officers at the federal level. The PR, the spinmeisters in the federal agencies, there's actually 200 of those people that out-earn their local governor. No one's going to begrudge the VA doctors and the medical officers. There's almost 10,000 of those that out-earn their local governor. You got 6,200 air traffic controllers. But here's a couple. You got 25 electricians that out-earn their governor. You got 22 welders, 18 painters, 25 pipe fitters. You got 36 riggers and folks like that. And I think that's where, it just makes your head spin.
Oh, man, go to OpenTheBooks.com. That's where if I'm not mistaken, you've got the data of all the governor salaries and then the federal bureaucracy broken down state by state, correct?
That's right. So, like in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis makes about $130,000. And in Florida, there are 5,200 federal bureaucrats that out-earn DeSantis. Now, in Illinois, the governor makes a lot more. He makes $177,000. So there's only 723 federal bureaucrats out-earning the Illinois governor. In Texas, there's 4,100 employees out-earning Greg Abbott, who makes $153,000.
And by the way, just for the audience, you've got it broken down by position title.
Right. So you've got these attorneys, these PR officers. You've got 3,000 accountants working for Uncle Sam that out-earn their local governor. You've got these electricians, these painters, these pipe fitters, riggers. You've got these lawyers, the 7,200 lawyers that out-earn their local governor.
By the way, Adam Andrzejewski, we're talking with him right now. He is with the group OpenTheBooks.com, which exposes, folks, it's a nonpartisan group. One of my favorites, Dr. Tom Coburn, former senator from Oklahoma, is also on their board. You go to the website, you can take a look at a lot of where the government is absolutely ripping off the taxpayer. That's the reason why we call it the ripoff of the week. I'm more astonished by these 5,200 federal jobs here in Florida that pay more than the governor.
Right. So, look, I can go to the Florida table, and we can break that down for you in real time. In Florida, the good news there is the governor only makes $130,000. So DeSantis, when he was elected governor, he took a significant pay cut from coming out of Congress, where they make approximately $175,000. Here are the employees grouped that make more than what the Florida governor makes.
All right.
You got 1,000 medical officers. You've got 172 accountants and budget people. Over in natural resources and biological sciences, you got 100 of those. Administrative, clerical, and office services. You've got nearly 700 federal bureaucrats out-earning the governor of Florida. These bureaucrats are based in Florida.
That is incredible there. No barbers, of course, right? That we see in Illinois, right?
I'm not showing barbering on this list. At least the barbers in Florida aren't out-earning the governor.
By the way, Adam Andrzejewski, we call it the rip-off of the week. He's with the group OpenTheBooks.com. By the way, Roger, because I know Roger, by the way, Roger can always jump in anytime he wants because we're looking at each other.
I'm astounded that someone painting walls can make more than the governor, the chief executive of the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Federal worker. Not the
You've
private
got nearly a. You also have nearly 1,000 federal bureaucrats based in transportation out earning the Florida governor.
Now, what are these jobs as far as transportation? We're driving a bus or what?
Let's hope they're building infrastructure because Florida is expanding.
Right.
I mean, people are fleeing Illinois like it's on fire to come to Florida.
They're probably putting up toll booths somewhere. That's probably
By the way, Roger, if you go to openthebooks.com, Adam, you also point out not only their salaries, alone more money than what the governor makes. Again, federal employees here in the state of Florida. You had even talked about their benefits like paid time off and bonuses and pensions.
So this study doesn't even, it only includes the lucrative salary. It doesn't go into the perquisites and the pension benefits versus the local governor, which are significant at the federal level. On your show, over the years, we have broken the fact that the average federal bureaucrat, after just 3 years of service, gets 43 days of paid time off, 10 holidays, 13 sick days, and 20 vacation days.
That's a lot of time.
And it's a big cost to the American taxpayer because then you have to hire more federal workers to cover for those people who are taking time off.
Again, Adam Andrzejewski, if you go to openthebooks.com for the beginning of the year, they got the new federal payroll data that shows that 95,000 government workers, we're not talking about state, we're talking about federal government workers out-earning their state governors. This is going on, of course, during the government shutdown. They've got data of all, because not all states are the same, Raj.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal bureaucracy payroll data broken down by the states, broken out by positions and things of that nature out there as well. I'm just astonished by the 5,200 federal employees here in the state of Florida. So, but anyway, go ahead, Adam.
Here's one last material point. The trend on this is out of control. So in 2011, Coburn did this, commissioned that study. There were 77,000 of these feds out earning their local governor. Today, there's over 95,500 of these feds out earning their local governor. That's a sharp increase, and it parallels the growth in the national debt. In 2011, the debt was $14 trillion. Today, it's $21 trillion.
Right. Adam, real quick, Roger and I, we always talk a lot of economics on this radio show. I understand that you, and it's a good way of, connecting the two here when you look at the governor's salary. But let's say you exclude that alone. When you talk about painters and some of these medical positions that are federal employees, I mean, that alone, without trying to, barometer it up with somebody else's salary, I would sit back, which you do, and I got about a minute left here, the question, why are these individuals making that much money, even if the private sector doesn't pay that much?
Well, I think the bureaucrats at every level in this country, they have learned how to play the game. They have learned, for instance, if you're a local teacher in Illinois, you can strike, you can hold the kids hostage in the classroom to get more salary, perks, and
pension benefits.
That's
right.
And so I think at every level, politicians cave typically to public employee unions. And I think that's at the root of the ever-increasing pay, perks, and pension benefits.
Adam Andrzejewski, good to have you on. He's with the group OpenTheBooks.com. Again, he's also a Forbes.com columnist. Good to have you on today.
Great to be on the program. Great
All right.
to be back.
Yeah,
it's
great to have you back. I love having him on, Roger.
Yeah.
It is the ripoff of the week. And again, I'm still stuck in the 5,200 federal employees here in Florida?
Well, we have a big military infrastructure. Many of them are civilian.
I get some of that. But
I know we have VA hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, etc.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. More as we continue to move along. Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-10 East, Cassett to 95. Things are busy there this morning. Lots of cars on the road at 295 from Phillips Highway to Gate Parkway as well. And 95 North from State Road 9B to University Boulevard. We're seeing backup there this morning.
I'm Lou Dimes. Kia issuing a major recall despite the government shutdown. Airbus spending $300 million on an Alabama plant expansion. West Coast ports set an all-time cargo record. Those stories next.
Hi, this is Alexander Green, Chief Investment Strategist for the Oxford Club. Just for a moment, I'd like you to picture the perfect stock. No doubt it would have hundreds of billions in revenue, more than IBM, Facebook, and Google. It would probably be a leader in cutting-edge technology like smartphones and robotics. It would be on the verge of dozens of blockbuster announcements. But most of all, it would be ultra-cheap, trading at less than $3 a share. Now, it may seem crazy that such a stock exists, but it does. It's a cutting-edge tech company that has made deals worth hundreds of millions of dollars with Nokia, Microsoft, and Cisco, and a $29.2 billion deal with Apple. It's set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America, and Donald Trump even calls it the eighth wonder of the world. Yet you've likely never even heard of the stock. Why? Because it trades under a secret name. To find out why the secret $3 stock can help you retire, simply go to OneStockRetirement.com. That's OneStockRetirement.com.
Carmaker Kia will recall more than 68,000 of its vehicles to fix a fuel pipe problem, a problem that can cause fires. The National Highway Traffic Administration, which is now closed due to the shutdown, was investigating the case. Kia says it's not waiting for the agency to reopen. It's fixing those cars on its own initiative. European aerospace firm Airbus says it will break ground on a $300 million expansion of its Alabama assembly plant. Airbus says the favorable business climate in the state, as well as incentives offered, help seal the deal to expand. Two of America's busiest ports, Los Angeles and Long Beach, announcing they set all-time records for shipping cargo in 2018. Please join me for Lou Dimes tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dimes Financial Report.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
We know you're busy, so let Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Tunis Restaurant, just west of I-295, offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos gyros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at the original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. Check out our new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military, first responders, and school employees. The Original Tunis Restaurant, open 7 days a week. Check us out on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
We're expecting sunshine today and a high of 68. This evening, partly cloudy with a low of 45. 37 now here at WBOB.
More as we continue to move. There we go. It's, let me see, 8 a.m. The city of Jacksonville, the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and the state attorney's office have released their comprehensive gang reduction strategy. People have been emailing me this morning going, well, where was this a couple of years ago? We'll talk about that coming up next with our panel discussion at 222 Talk, 222-8255. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.